Lord, we thank you for blessing us with the privilege of gathering in your name on this special occasion. Lord, as we approach Christmas Day, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of family. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, of relative health. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of providing for all of our needs. Most of all, we thank you for the blessing of providing your son. And we ask, Lord, that as we celebrate this season, that we would make you the centerpiece of our table. That, Lord, we would all be focused not just on the festivities, but on the founder of the feast. And that you would just create in all of our homes and hearts the warmth of the love of Christ. So that, Lord, we might be blessed and be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, today's message, I'm going to jump right into it. Today's message is titled, Absorbing God's Perfect Love and Spreading His Light. Absorbing God's Perfect Love and Spreading His Light. Or you could substitute Janelle's word, steeping yourselves in God's perfect love and spreading His light. From the book of 2 Corinthians 5:14, we read these words, "For Christ's love compels us." Or another translation would say, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." The love of Christ compels us. We are driven forward by the love of Christ. It is the controlling influence of our dedication. The love of Christ is the controlling influence of our transformation and of our sacrifice that we make and that we offer in this life. As I share this last sermon with you, because next week Elder Grace will be sharing, so as I share my last sermon of the year with you, I want to expand for just a few minutes upon a devotional piece that I wrote on Friday. And I want to leave you with one truth that encapsulates all the sermons I've preached this year, all the writings I have produced this year, all of the one-on-one conversations that I've had with some of you on spiritual things, all the Bible studies that we've shared this year, all the Sunday school classes we've shared this year, all of my contribution to the men's group when the men have gathered together and fellowshipped around meat. And eggs. All of the things that I have had the privilege of being able to share with you and share to you this past year, it encapsulates all those things. So if you're taking notes, the subject this morning is absorbing God's perfect love and spreading His light. But here is the main idea, and here is the one thing that encapsulates all of what I just described. The very best way that we can spread the love of God to a desperately needy world is by consistently absorbing it for ourselves. Everything that I've shared this year can fall under that umbrella, that thought. And for that reason, I'm going to take some time this morning to develop why that thought, why that idea encapsulates everything else. I'll say it again. The very best way, if you want to spread the love of God to a desperately needy world, if you want to be a committed and connected, dedicated Christian, if you want to be a follower of Christ who is absorbed in the things of Christ, if you want to move from point A to point B to point C in your character, whatever it is that you desire spiritually. Let me put it that way. Anything that you desire spiritually, the best way to obtain it is by consistently observing, absorbing the love of God for ourselves. So as we finish our series on the gift of the gospel, which is what we've been talking about all month, let's be mindful of this. The baby Jesus was born, and Jesus died to make it possible for us to connect and to absorb the love of God. That's part of the gift. That's why he died, is to make that accessible to us. He sent his Holy Spirit so that the love of God could be poured out into our hearts, so that we could have a receptacle to be able to receive the love of God that is so abundant and so accessible to us because of Christ. So I want to share 3 points with you to address this morning. First, I want to talk about absorbing God's love. And secondly, I want to talk about the impact of absorbing his love. And thirdly, the opportunity to absorb his love. So let's start with number one, absorbing God's love. Understanding how deeply we are loved by God fills us up with abundant life. You want to know what the core element, what the main active ingredient of abundant life is? When Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it to the full." The central ingredient, the active ingredient of that abundant life is the love of God. It is his love that gives us the proper motive for Christian living. If we're operating out of any other motive than love, there's something distorted about our reasoning. Because it is the love of Christ that God wants to be the energizing and compelling force in our lives. That's why it says the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ drives us forward, wrote the Apostle Paul. You guys see my dedication. You see my sacrifice, says the Apostle Paul. You see my commitment. You see my wholehearted absorption in the things of God. You see things in me that make you go, "Wow, I could never do that." Where is that coming from? The love of Christ. The love of Christ is the driving force that moves me forward in my commitment to Christ. So understanding how deeply we are loved by God fills us with abundant life. And it's this love, again, that gives us the proper motive for Christian living. And it generates the mental, emotional, and spiritual energy we need to love others. It says in Romans 5, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. To get to know the Lord better is to understand his love for us. You know, I talk about that all year long. I talk about getting to know the Lord better. What does that mean? At the heart of it is understanding his love for us, because God is love. To understand him better means to grow deeper in your knowledge of, and not just here, but here, growing in your experiential knowledge of his love for you is what is involved in understanding and knowing him better. So how, Pastor? Take it down from the clouds and bring it down to Valley Brook. Put the cookies on a tray in front of us and slide it to us so that we may enjoy this absorption of which you speak. So how do we absorb the love of God? It's more about the intention of our hearts than it is the methods that we use. It's more about the intention of our hearts than it is the methods we use. We absorb God's love by inviting him into our present place. We absorb God's love by inviting him into our present place. We've got all kinds of mood management strategies, don't we? We've got all kinds of things that we turn to affect our moods. And many of them involve distractions, and many of them involve diversions. And that's not all bad. Nothing wrong with Marlo going to the Ravens game yesterday and sitting out there and taking selfies and videoing the crowd and go Ravens. Nothing wrong with it, especially if he brought a mojo that caused him to win. That's great. Nothing wrong with my wife loving TCM the way I love ESPN. She loves Turner Classic Music movies, and I love ESPN. I sort of have ESPN playing in the background. She has TCM playing on the background. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going to a nice restaurant and enjoying food with friends and family. Nothing wrong with, you know, skiing and doing all the kinds of things that we do to give us pleasures in life. They aren't all bad, but every day has a different emotional and spiritual vibe. When you wake up, some days you got it, and some days you don't. Some days you don't know why you got it, but you got it. And other days you don't know why you don't got it, but you don't got it. Some days are high energy, some are low. Some you are feeling very benevolent and in the Christmas spirit, and other days you're the Grinch. It is what it is. And you wake up sometimes without having done anything. You just are there. That's how it is for me. I wake up and where am I today? I gotta check my bearings. Every day has a different emotional and spiritual vibe. Here's the thing. Instead of just trying to change your place when it's not where you want to be, you don't have to worry about it when it's where you want to be. You don't think about it. You just go with it. But what if it's not where you want to be? What if it's one of those ugly? What if you are the Grinch? You want to better absorb the love of God? Instead of just trying to change your place, invite him into your place. Invite him into your Grinchness. I'm a Grinch today, Lord. Let's explore this together. Let's fellowship in my Grinchness. You know, a good therapist will invite you to explore your assumptions and explore your feelings. They won't encourage you to shut them down. They will encourage you to explore them. And the Lord does the same. Not only does he already know what's there, he knows why it's there. So unlike a therapist, he's not exploring for information. He's not exploring for information. In fact, Psalm 62:8 tells us, pour out your hearts before him. Pour it all out before him, not so he'll know what's there, but so that we can experience his love, so that you can recognize that, you know what, I'm a Grinch today, but the Lord loves the Grinch that I am today. The Lord sits with the Grinch that I am today. He knows why I am the Grinch today, and there's no pressure on me right now to be ungrinchy. I can sit in this place and invite him into my present place and fellowship with him in that place. And you know what he's going to be in that place? He's going to be compassionate. He's going to be kind. He's going to be wise. And he's going to do all of that while at the same time telling you the truth. Yeah. Yeah. He will speak the truth in love. just as he has directed us to. Not only will he speak the truth, but he will be who the Holy Spirit says he is, a guide to the light. He will begin to open your eyes, and even if he doesn't open your eyes, you may find, like the Grinch, that all of a sudden your heart starts growing, and you don't even know why or how he did it, but you sense his work in your life changing you from here to there, like the sun rising in the morning. Sometimes you stand outside and you see the sun rising. Sometimes when you are inviting the Lord to your place, you can feel the sun rising in your spirit. Other times you pray about it, you sit with him in it, and nothing changes, and you go to work and lo and behold, the sun has come out. How did that happen? You see, once, if you really want to absorb the love of God, you have to allow the Lord to see the truth of who you are and be with you in truth. And that way you begin to become confident that he loves you and not your performance. And that is why it is important to invite him into your place and fellowship with him instead of the other option, which is let me get myself together and then I'll come and invite him in. All you've done is reinforce the idea that he only accepts you when you're at your best. So invite him into your worst. Invite him into your worst. And that will allow you to absorb his love. You'll begin to see that it's real and it's not a theory. You'll begin to see that grace is big enough for me and that it's not this small thing that I kind of have to keep myself in. No, it's big enough to handle my Grinchness. Beware. When I talk about inviting him into your place, beware of isolation, but cherish solitude. There's a difference between the two. There's a difference between cutting yourself off from people and choosing to be alone with the Lord. So when I'm talking about inviting him in, sometimes you just need to be still. You know, how do you ever take time to just be still before the Lord? No phone, no TV, no music playing, just you with him. Alone with your thoughts and your feelings and quiet. And letting what's real, letting what's true, letting where you really are reveal itself. Just let it reveal itself without racing here and there trying to keep it away with distractions and diversions. There is a place for time alone. Time with God, with you. The real you, not just the busy, active you, but the real you that comes calling when the lights go out at night. The real you when you're not involved in the things that keep us diverted and distracted. Beware of isolation, but cherish solitude. So we absorb God's love by inviting him into our present place. Boy, I could talk about this one thing all sermon long. But I'm going to move on to the second one, which is we absorb God's love by faith, by believing what the scripture says about his love. You know, Janelle just read that passage in Romans. You guys have heard all year long about the love of God. And verse after verse after verse that has supported that and shown you the reality of that through the lens of the scriptures. But there needs to be more than a cognition of his love. There needs to be a belief in it. And the belief takes place when you are in a place where you need to rely upon his love for you. When you can't rely upon your good behavior. When you can't rely upon your Christian credentials. When you can't rely upon your performance. And times when everything's going well. We absorb God's love for us by faith, by believing what the scripture says about it. When you receive blessings from on high that come in pleasant feelings, because other blessings come and they're not pleasant, but they're still blessings. But when you have those occasions where you are excited about life's offerings to you, taking time to believe that this is a product of God's love for you, and settling yourself in there is important. Believing what the scripture says about his love. You've heard me say over the course of this year, maybe a couple of times, that one of my favorite quotes is from the martial arts master Bruce Lee, who said, "I don't fear the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." And how I would apply that is that it's 10,000 kick belief in a few verses is better than knowing 10,000 but trusting in none. It is better, for example, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you." How many of you are familiar with that verse? Okay, if you're not, write it down. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. There aren't any more anxieties for you to confront than all. You hear what I'm saying? This coming year, I can guarantee you that you will not confront any more anxieties than all. And this verse tells us, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That means clinging to it in all circumstances. That is better. To be able to absorb that one verse is better than being able to recite by memory a whole chapter or a whole book of the Bible. It's better to believe one than to know 10,000. We absorb the love of God by investing our faith in the truth of what the scripture says about his love. And this isn't as hard as we think it is. And it's not as mystical as you think it is. This morning, I was racing here for Sunday school and I was late. And wouldn't you know it, when you're late, everything that can go wrong goes wrong. The traffic was terrible. Every light caught me. But as I was sitting at one of those lights, I was thinking about faith. And I was thinking about how much we demonstrate it every single day in the world around us. Because I'm sitting there and I am waiting for the light to turn green. And traffic is just zipping by both directions, 40, 50 miles an hour. But when it's green, I just go right out into the intersection, fully trusting that that light is going to stop that traffic that's been whizzing by. I don't think twice about it. I exercise faith in the traffic light by depending upon it. I just depend upon it. And so it is with trusting in the scriptures. It's just about depending upon what it says. And get this, it doesn't matter how I feel about the green light. My emotions play no role in how I am responding to the green light. I am just accepting it on face value and operating accordingly. And so it is when we see verses about God's love for us. Act like you are loved by God. Don't act like someone who is out of favor with God or that God is ignoring. Don't act that way. Just as you would just proceed when the light turns green, proceed as though you are loved as the scripture says that you are. That is what it means to rely upon. Talk to the Lord about it and then just rely upon it as though it is true. Number three, we absorb God's love by depending upon it. Thaddeus, this is how you look leaving a situation that the Holy Spirit clearly told you not to get involved in. Take that in for just a minute. We know it, don't we? Amen. We've all been there. We've all been there. But you know, I'm going to ask you a pop quiz, and I'm going to give you a big hint. This relates to my message from last week. What is the most important thing about this picture? Hope. Okay. That he's moving forward. He's alive. God still loves him. The most important thing about this picture, as I thought about it, and as I thought about sharing it this morning, the most important thing about this is, what direction is this fellow moving in? It's not what he did that got him all roughed up like that. That's not the most important thing. We might think, well, boy, I hope he learned his lesson. No, the most important thing is, what is he going to do now? Now that you're all jacked up, now that your fur has been singed and frazzled, now that you look like, I wish I hadn't done that, whatever that was, I hope I never see that again. The most important thing is, where is he headed now? And what I mean by that is he heading to the Lord, or is he heading away from the Lord? Is he heading to the Lord to receive mercy and grace for my frazzled fur? Or is he moving away from the Lord in shame and into the greater clutches of the evil one, who has no mercy? The evil one is not going to look at him and say, you know what, man, you've had a bad day. I'm going to give you a break today. Oh, no. The evil one says, I'm going to steep the shame on you. I'm going to steep abuse upon you, because my goal is to destroy you. That is my goal, and you're not destroyed yet. You're still walking around. You're frazzled and messed up, but you're not yet destroyed. I want to steal. I want to kill. I want to destroy. I have no mercy, and I have no let up. And so the most important thing here is he moving into a place where he's going to get better, or is he moving to a place where he's going to get worse? The worst place is always away from the Lord. The best place is always, no matter how you feel, you may look unpresentable. Don't comb your fur. Don't take the time to wait till it settles down. You're all jacked up. Go into the presence of the Lord just like that. and believe what it says. Believe what it says. What's waiting for you there? Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now, are you going? See, this is what I mean by you don't have to kind of feel a certain way. He has a choice. He can go this way or he can go that way. Feelings has nothing to do with it. It has to do with his decision making in that moment. And that's what faith is. It's your decision making in a given moment. If you want to absorb the love of God, make decisions that are reflective of that belief. Make decisions that are reflective of that belief. And that's what it means. You don't have to squint your eyes, clench your fists. I really, really, really believe it. It's not that mystical. The light turns green, go. You're frazzled, fuzzied up, messed up, go into the presence of the Lord. We absorb the Lord's love for us by believing what the scripture says about the Lord's love. Last week, I gave a dramatic illustration. Thank you, Thaddeus. Last week, I gave a dramatic illustration. I said that the more that I comprehend the love, the grace, and the freedom I have in Christ, the more my heart chooses him. And I said, I can do whatever I want to do. But my heart, with the knowledge of that freedom, with the knowledge of how big grace is, I choose him. Do you know why? Because the more you choose him, the more his love grows in your heart. The more you believe in his love for you, the more love becomes the controlling influence in your life. And what I have discovered is that, as it says in John chapter 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And what God wants to do is refine our understanding of his love and take the fear of punishment out of it. Because fear involves, perfect love casts out fear. I don't want my wife to be in relationship with me because she's afraid of what I will do if she chooses not to be. I don't want her to go out on a date with me because she's afraid of what I might do if she doesn't. I don't want her to be responding to me out of fear. I want her to respond out of love. And so it is with the Lord. He gives us the freedom and the grace this big so that with that freedom, we will choose him. And to operate from any other platform is to not be perfected in love. It's to be operating out of a fear paradigm. And perfect love casts out fear. We also absorb God's love in our interaction with one another. If you want to absorb God's love more fully, you need to be involved with God's people. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Now, some of God's people don't do it so well. And I would advise that those people, that you kind of give them some space. People who betray a confidence. People who are going to judge you because of what you share with them. People who are not safe people. Give them space and absorb God's love by being around people who are reflecting God's love. You cannot fully experience the love of God in isolation. God didn't set it up that way. We are members of one another, the scripture says. When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. There is an interconnectedness that God has built into this thing called the gospel and the family of God. And so if we want to fully absorb the love of God, then we need to be involved with God's people. We absorb, another one, we absorb God's love by praise and thanksgiving. And these are just two powerful assets. When we spend time in praise, when we spend time in thanksgiving, it helps to magnify the Lord instead of our problems, Philip, right? It magnifies the Lord more than our problems. It changes our focus. It shows how big God is, not how big our problems are. Doesn't necessarily mean our problems go away, but they go into perspective. And we begin to see that we are not dominated by our problems, that we have a King of Kings, that we have a Lord of Lords, that we have a God who says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? When we engage in praise and thanksgiving, as I was sharing last week, thanking God for what he gives us and thanking him for what he withholds from us, those things become things that magnify God and help us to absorb his love more effectively. My sister texted me an old hymn, singing group from Zambia. Brothers and sisters from Zambia were singing this song about the wondrous, wondrous love of Jesus. And I was going to show it this morning, but we had some technical problems. But it was glorious. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. It absolutely mesmerized me. I put the headphones on Laverne and said, Laverne, listen to this. It mesmerized her. Glorious. These brothers and sisters in another continent who've met the Jesus that we know, praising him with all of their hearts, speaking about the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. When you focus on the glory of God and the majesty of our King, it becomes sometimes overwhelming, doesn't it? Sometimes it leaves you speechless. And you know, we always, when we see people in uniform and it's become traditional and it becomes almost routine, that when we see someone in uniform, we say, thank you for your service. And it's not that the military doesn't deserve our thanks. They absolutely do. But if anybody deserves to be thanked for their service, it's Jesus. If anybody needs to be thanked for his service of all mankind, not just our country, but for the whole world, his service to the whole world, it's Jesus. And praise and thanksgiving is one of the ways that we just say, thank you for your service, Lord. Thank you for your service. Number two, the impact of absorbing God's love. God's love is the lubricant that makes all the gears of life run more smoothly and efficiently. When you are filled up and absorbing the love of God, it makes everything else run more smoothly. You don't have to be as intentional about loving people and your speech and things of that nature. Suddenly, all those things begin to flow a lot easier. Not that we don't have to be careful with our speech, but it's not as hard. When you are lubricated with the love of God, the gears just operate more smoothly in life. And you don't even need the Bible to realize this. Just listen to the lyrics of true love songs, secular love songs. I don't mean lust songs. I'm talking about love songs. Love songs. And these are songs that talk about the transformation of our perspective and our experience when love is vibrant in our lives. That's what I mean by a love song. Like the Temptation, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. It's like my outlook on life is being changed because I'm experiencing love. Or the Carpenters, such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see. I'm feeling love, and there's wonder in everything. I'm looking at the worm crawling across the concrete. What a beautiful worm! Bill Withers says, I wake up in the morning and then I look at you and the world's all right with me. The whole world is right with me. We see this reflected in secular song. Anita Baker would say, I'm giving you the best that I got. And Aladdin would say, I see a whole new world. A whole new world. What is that? It's the impact of love. You don't need the Bible to realize this. What I'm talking about is connecting with a love, the love of loves. And if human love can have that kind of effect on us, think about the effect of divine love that has no strings attached, that is absolutely and totally beyond anything humans can replicate. I mean, we kind of show some images of it and facets of it, but what the Lord wants us to absorb is bigger than any human being can provide. Earth, Wind, and Fire says you can't hide love. And I bet you. I mean, if love is there, if it's there and it's operating in you, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. There's a smile on your face for the whole human race, says Nat King Cole. It's almost like being in love. You see, these are just shadows. God is love, the scripture says. And all human forms of it comes from above. All human forms that are true and sincere expressions of it, those come from above. So when we're filled with God's love, we naturally extend it to others and we become beacons of His light, spreading His love to everyone around us. That's why I said, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to exercise discipline and be a disciplined Christian, discipline yourself in what Jude 21 says. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, that doesn't mean keep yourselves by performing. It means keep yourselves by believing it. Take care of yourself. Maintain yourself by believing in and absorbing the love of God. When we're filled with His love, we extend it to others. In Luke 19, a man named Zacchaeus connected with the love of Jesus without even being prompted. And he said to people, he said to Jesus, if I've cheated anybody, he was a tax collector. And when he encountered the love of Jesus, he said, if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay back four times the amount that I've cheated from them. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. He was just filled with the love of Jesus and therefore responded this way. See, our love for God is always a response to His love for us. It's always a response. We don't have it in us. Our love for others and our love is always a response to His love for us. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. He loved us. And we love because He first loved us. And as we absorb His love for us, we become more Christ-reflecting lovers of others. And finally, the opportunity to absorb God's love. Just want to say, why not use this Christmas season, when God gave the greatest love gift of all, to freshly invite Him into your inner place, whatever that may be. And allow Him to tutor you to, as the scripture says, to tutor you to comprehend the length and width and height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. This morning I was thanking the Lord for our home. We've been there 15 years, and I was thanking him for the privilege of living in our home for the past 15 years. And I said, Lord, and I thank you for just the blessings that have been mine and Laverne's in this place, the people who have come in and who have blessed us, and that we've had the privilege of being able to bless. Thank you for our home. And then I said, and wait a minute, while I'm at it, I want to thank you for the home that's awaiting me beyond this life, which is immeasurably more wonderful. Because unlike the home that I thank you for here, nothing ever breaks where I'm going. Nothing wears out. I don't need to call a maintenance man. It's reserved for me in heaven, and there will be no mortgage. And it's eternal. And whether it's a single family dwelling, when it talks about in my Father's house are many mansions, some say rooms. We don't know whether it's mansions, single family mansions, or rooms. It doesn't really matter. Whether it's a condo, it doesn't matter, Lord. It does not matter. It'll be a place of unadulterated bliss. Whatever it is. Because the most glorious feature of it will not be its accessories. The most glorious part of it will be you, your presence. So thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to come to earth for this purpose, to open the door to all of these spiritual blessings and spiritual and eternal blessings that are mine. So as we close this year, brothers and sisters, and as we look forward to the next, let's remember that our primary mission is to believe in the one whom the Father sent, as it says in John 6:29, and to absorb his love for us so fully that it overflows into the world around us. Let the love of Christ control you, compel you, drive you forward, guide you, and fill you with the abundant life. That is my prayer for you. That is my prayer for me. That is my prayer for us. And I thank God that he has been doing that in our lives all year long. Sometimes with our consciousness, and other times with us being oblivious to how he's doing that. And I am done.